I'm walking Poppy over the fields, and it always seems to make me want to boo, because I start thinking. Great things, dogs, for thinking. Going through my head is, again, something that hasn't left my head since I kind of messed it up, cut it off too soon. I don't know. I'm not confident I did the right thing, but that's because it's launch time soon. We haven't got funding yet. I constantly wish I hadn't dismissed or got the wrong feeling about the VC I met. Pretty confident if I'd carried on, we'd have got the funding we needed to be financially secure this year, albeit we'd all be working on very bootstrapped salaries. At the time, I started to think, well, you know, starting a company, if there's VC money getting involved, I shouldn't be. I mean, not for myself, really, because I can, you know, money isn't what I'm after with this. It's a passion. But for my co-founder and our design director, you know, if we've got VC money and I don't really feel like they should be working for peanuts, complete peanuts, they've both got kids. So, yeah, that haunts me daily and nightly. And I keep thinking about it. I said far too much in my letter suggesting that I'd rather just work with one of the guys, not the VC. And so I haven't got any wriggle room now. I can't really go back to them and say, look, you know, it's been a hard and stressful and exciting but new process for me, developing a platform in Love Fresh. And I'm not necessarily always going to do the right thing. And I hope, you know, this is what my, in my head, this is how I'd say it if I do go back. I hope that by apologising for that and saying that maybe I made a mistake and that you and I could work together, that you can see that I'm prepared to learn by my mistakes and iterate, if you like, in the real world as well as in the software world. I'm tempted by that option at the minute and have some longer talks about them, with me being a little bit more honest about our needs, or honest with myself. I was being honest with them, but I just hadn't thought it all through enough. Or the second train of thought, which is it possible, having had a mental breakdown and already had a fear of it, but had it all bottled up, causing stress, being a negotiator for 16 years, I have a massive fear of negotiation situations now, which is not good for a CEO. It doesn't mean I'm bad at them, it doesn't mean I can't do them, but it doesn't even mean I need to medicate to do them like I maybe would have done a year and a half ago, or a year ago. It just means I'm absolutely fearful of them. I'm not a good salesman. I'm an enthusiast, really. I believe in Love Fresh wholeheartedly, and you know, my other more positive thoughts are all about how much good it could do for local food producers, the local food trade worldwide. How, as we iterate it out and as we build the features we plan, those features will empower farmers and local food producers to be in control of the local food market much more than they are now, to have more clout with supermarkets, to produce at a price that's profitable. You know, I'd like to see a world moving away from subsidies and the world and quotas and all of the things that lead farmers to take the decisions they take when farming, and into sustainability, the whole community being fed by local food producers, a festival of local fresh food that becomes ingrained in our culture much more than it is now. I just wonder, the question I constantly ask myself is, if we launch and gain some traction, will VCs come to us? And then I'll be able to evangelise rather than sell, because I'm not walking in through a door of someone I've asked to meet to ask for money. Oh, I don't know whether that's just semantics and whether I'm just being a dick about it, but, you know, I've come a long way. I was in a pretty bad state that 1 year ago. I couldn't leave the house. I trembled permanently. I was barely asleep. My mind was racing in a cycle of huge manic excitement and creative buzz and deep, dark, debilitating depressions. So part of the therapy was, you know, be kind to yourself. That's one sentence that's really stuck with me, because I definitely haven't been enough in the past. Part of the reason I sustained 16 years of doing a job I hated, despite it being very stressful, was because I knew that my parents would be pleased I was doing it. I knew that my teachers would be pleased I was doing it. You know, this kind of pleasing behaviour that many of us have. On a micro level, it's asking directions in the street and nodding rather than listening. But a desire for people to like you, I suppose. I don't look at it as a flaw in my personality or whatever, but it's certainly something that I have to be aware of, so that I'm actually listening when I'm told directions, or actually getting what I want from a meeting when I'm in a meeting, as opposed to hoping the VC likes me and then leaving the meeting thinking, shit, I didn't get what I wanted out of that meeting. So, yeah, I am just gibbering, really, but this is, I suppose, just reflections on life after a couple of serious breakdowns and a long period of mental illness. And, you know, I say this from someone that I was, you know, I don't mean to sound conceited in any way, but I did a job negotiating multi-million pound settlements with lawyers and CEOs from my expertise base, which is engineering, construction, risk, insurance, professional indemnity. They're my areas. I was good at it. I was the lead in my team in the, one of the leaders in the UK in the field, a German company. Yeah, leaders in the world in the field. I rose to become the consultant of that department, you know, above my senior negotiator status. So I was advisor to the senior negotiators and the lead negotiator in sort of high court settlements, that kind of thing. I was competent enough, but I'm a different person now. I've been broken down by a mental explosion, and I'm glad to be the person I am. All the walls that I had up have been blown away, and I'm me again now. I can identify the almost 40-year-old Mark with the optimistic 18-year-old Mark, who left home to East London to full of dreams and aspirations. My aspirations are just not be successful like they used to be, and by that I measured money. They're completely different to that. They'd be happy, basically. And I'm doing a good job so far, but this VC thing, it's the big one for me. It's the big crippler. It's the one that I lie awake at night and think, shit, if we don't get this sorted, if I don't do my job here, Love Fresh is going to be nothing in a few months. I can't expect people to work for nothing forever. I can't afford to pay contractors forever. So, yeah, my booze are never short, I guess, but I'm really using this as a diary. I find it very helpful to get things down, and I listen to it again, and then I don't think about it so much afterwards, because I feel like it's like double writing a note, if you know what I mean, so you won't forget something. It's recorded, it's done, it's out my head. So, yeah, the strains of business, I suppose, linked to the challenge of recovery. Pretty much recovered, but I'm still medicated on, depression. Almost saying that, I feel like I've just like reduced our chances of getting funding, because I just keep getting back to the idea, well, I know I can do this, But if I tell Thunders, and I do want to be open about why I haven't been working in my career for the past 2 years, you know, half of them are going to run a mile, because people have an attitude towards mental health, mental illness, and however right or wrong it is, it's there. So yeah, oh gosh, I feel emotional about it, but it's sort of emotion because, you know, I don't think I'd be able to cope with it if I didn't think we had a good product, but I absolutely think we're there, by the way. We've just been testing Twitter and Facebook over the weekend. Finishing styling the web app, the HTML5 app for Android and anyone else who wants to access Love Fresh on a smartphone. And we're ready to send it to Apple. We're just literally doing hourly builds at the minute and testing things before forwarding it off to Apple for approval. So I feel dead excited about all of that. I feel thoroughly buoyed. I feel like, yes, we did it. We're here. In that we did it. We've proved our minimum viable product into ourselves. And really now it's just nerve-wracking because I suppose, you know, if we go to Apple and we get no downloads on the first day, cool, how is that going to feel? You know, if a week later we've got 50 downloads, shit, you know, what do I do? What do I do? That's, I mean, I know there's lots we can do, but yeah, they're not going to help with the raising funds to ensure that Love Fresh doesn't just die, really. Gosh. Oh, I should just stop. It's 11 minutes. If you've got this far, then you're really a saint. You care about us, us and Love Fresh and me, which I thank you for. I can't believe you have. I really don't do these boos to be for them to be listened to. I'm always flattered and humbled when they are, because they're not broadcast about anything interesting. They're just me working through life. So, yeah, respect to you. I know that you'll try Love Fresh. Okay, I'll boo you later.